Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the miracle worker in our lives, dear fellow redeemed. We continue our Epiphany series as we look in various gospel texts to see what they reveal to us about Jesus. That's what the word Epiphany means, to reveal. So this Sunday we will take a look at the account of Jesus' first miracle as it's recorded for us in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. 3 days later, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that have to do with you and me? My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." 6 stone water jars, which the Jews used for ceremonial cleansing, were standing there, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." And they did. When the master of the banquet tasted the water that had now become wine, he did not know where it had come from. But the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the banquet called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when the guests have had plenty to drink, then the cheaper wine. You save the good wine until now." This, the beginning of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee. He revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In our daily lives, signs are important. They point us to important things. Whether we are driving on the freeway or we're in the buffet line, it is helpful. Sometimes really, really important to pay attention to signs. In John's gospel, he uses the term signs to refer to Jesus' miracles. And you may have noticed he uses that term in the last verse of our sermon text for today when he describes this miracle of Jesus changing water into wine in Cana of Galilee. He says this is the beginning of Jesus' miraculous signs. In other words, this is Jesus' first miracle. This miraculous sign that Jesus performed during his time on this earth points us to some important things about Jesus. In fact, every one of his miracles do point us to something important about Jesus. Well, what did this miraculous sign point to? And what does Jesus' first miracle reveal to us about Jesus? John answers that question clearly for us in our text. And from this account of Jesus' first miracle, we can see reasons why Jesus performed miracles in general while he was here on this earth. In fact, if you think about it, can you even imagine Jesus, the Son of God, being on this earth and not performing any miracles? If he came and lived among us for 33 years, had his ministry for 3 years, and didn't perform one miracle, wouldn't you begin to question, well, maybe this wasn't the Messiah? Wouldn't it make you doubt, is this really the Son of God, the Savior of the world himself? The fact is, of course, Jesus did perform miracles, many miracles, in fact. They were an important part of his epiphany, his revealing of himself as true God. So the first thing Jesus' miracles, or miracle that we're looking at today, and all of his miracles do for us, is they point to this important fact. They reveal this important fact about Jesus. It reveals that Jesus is true God. I have the 3 bullet points in the bulletin this morning, and I've given you a few words. I didn't give you the entire blank space like I did last Sunday, so you have a few words you can fill out. But the first one is that these miracles reveal that Jesus is true God. These miraculous signs of Jesus' divinity were a physical way of pointing to the spiritual truth that Jesus was and is the Son of God, that he was and is the Messiah, the true Savior of the world from sin. Now, obviously, as we look at this first miracle, one of the things that we notice very clearly about this is it's not the most impressive of Jesus' miracles. Not as impressive as feeding 5,000 men with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. Wasn't as awe-inspiring as when he caused a paralytic to just rise up and walk by saying the words. Wasn't nearly as incredible as when he raised his friend Lazarus from the dead after he'd been in the grave for 4 days. But this first miracle of Jesus is actually a very good representation of all of his miracles. From this first miracle, we learn some of the traits that are shared by all of Jesus' miracles. And in turn, this reveals to us some important things about Jesus. That brings us to the second thing that it reveals about Jesus, and that is this. It reveals that Jesus is compassionate and gracious. So the first thing Jesus' miracles reveal is that he is true God. The second thing it reveals to us is that he is compassionate and generous. As I mentioned above, this miracle might not seem that impressive. It might seem that it's far less significant than many of the other miracles of Jesus. However, each time I read this account, each time I preach or teach on this account, I'm reminded why this is one of my favorite miracle accounts of Jesus. It's true, no one was healed of a sickness or a disease. No one's life was in danger in this account. No one was raised from the dead. However, in the seeming insignificance of this miracle, we see clearly some of the traits of every one of Jesus' miracles, and that is his compassion and his generosity. Again, no, this wasn't a life or death situation, but for this newly married couple, this was potentially a very embarrassing situation and would have been a very bad start to their married life together. So for them, it was a crisis. It was a personal crisis. And Jesus shows his compassion on them and steps in at just the right time, his time. He shows deep love and concern for this bride and groom who had invited him to attend their wedding. We not only see Jesus' compassion in this miracle, we also see his generosity. He didn't just make wine. He could have, right, just made just common house wine. He made excellent wine. After tasting it, the master of the feast actually exclaims to the groom, "You saved the good wine until now." Not only did he make excellent wine, look at how much wine he made for them. If you do the math on the amount of water Jesus turned into wine, you can calculate it at somewhere between 120 and 180 gallons. Now that might seem like a lot of wine for a wedding feast, but you might recall from the traditions of those times, sometimes wedding feasts lasted an entire week. So this would have been plenty of wine to supply them for the entire week. So Jesus literally poured out his blessings on this couple and their guests by providing them with plenty of wine for the rest of their feast. Certainly the different miracles that Jesus performed had different situations and gave different blessings to different people. Here in this case, he blessed the couple and their guests with more wine. In other miracles he performed, he blessed the recipients with healing. Or maybe he returned one of their loved ones from the dead. However, one of the common traits and common threads in all of Jesus' miracles was the reason and the purpose he performed all of them. As I said earlier, John clearly states Jesus' purpose in his summary of this account of the miracle in Cana when he says in the last verse of our text, "He revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him." John's giving the purpose for why Jesus performed this miracle and why he performed all of his miracles. to reveal his glory so his disciples would believe in him. Now, in the previous chapter of John, the first chapter of John's gospel, we read that the disciples had been called by Jesus and they did already believe in him. They followed him as the Messiah. It's obvious from the end of chapter 1 of John that these men already believed. What this miracle did was show them even more of Jesus' glory as true God. And it gave them even more evidence that he was, in fact, the Messiah, that he was the Savior. It confirmed and strengthened their faith in Jesus even more. This points to the third important thing that this first miracle of Jesus and all of Jesus' miracles reveal to us about him. It reveals Jesus' glory and it strengthens our faith in him. This miracle and the miracles of Jesus reveal Jesus' glory and they strengthen our faith in him. That is what this miracle did for Jesus' disciples that day in Cana. John says it clearly. Does it do the same for us still today? Are you like me whenever you read one of the miracle accounts in Scripture, whether it's this one or any of the others, is there a little tiny voice in your head that says this question, does Jesus still do this today? Does he still perform miracles now? The answer, of course, is without question, he does. The problem oftentimes is that we don't see them or we're not looking in the right places. Like this comparatively insignificant miracle of Jesus turning water into wine, we often look for some fantastic display of Jesus' supernatural power, and we overlook some of the, what we think maybe are insignificant, miracles in our lives. How many times have we found ourselves in places like the bride and groom of our text? Maybe not a life or death situation, maybe not a really, really, really bad crisis, but definitely we consider it a personal crisis. And yet Jesus came through. He provided for us. He rescued us from it. Or maybe even unknown to us, completely caused that situation from happening altogether. The thing that we were worried about never comes to fruition. Could Jesus have used a miracle to prevent it from happening? He certainly could have. He can and still does. Do we ever stop in wonder and thank Jesus for these seemingly insignificant miracles in our lives? They're all signs of his divinity, of his compassion, of his generosity, just like he showed this newlywed couple in our text. Well, Pastor, you could argue, this is not really what a miracle is if it's just something that Jesus used the natural order of things to kind of bring about some good things in your life. Technically, a miracle is a supernatural act, something that goes beyond the normal rules of nature. Jesus doesn't really perform those anymore, does he? Of course he does. He can and he does. He is still true God. He still rules heaven and earth and does what he pleases. He can and does step in to heal miraculously or provide for his people. But the miracles that Jesus performs every day are much more impressive even than those. Yes, the miracle of the creation of a human life are incredible. The restoration of a human life, the healing of a human life, incredible miracles. But the creation of spiritual life in the heart of a person is infinitely more amazing and infinitely more beneficial. This miracle Jesus performed, he performed for each one of us personally. When he converted and raised your dead heart and mine to life through faith in his word. He does this for each one of us through that word. He does it for us through the miracle of baptism, the giving of the Holy Spirit through water and the word. He does this for us each time we read that Word of God, strengthens our faith in Him, restores and heals that spiritual life inside of us each time we hear, read, and meditate on that Word. He continues the miracle of preserving that spiritual life inside of each one of us through that Word and in connection with His very body and blood present and given to us in the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper. Jesus' purposes in performing these miracles are the same today as they were at that time in Cana at the wedding. Jesus' miracles reveal His glory as true God, and His miracles strengthen our faith in Him. So like His disciples, we don't believe in Jesus because of the miracles. We believe the miracles because of Jesus. Do you see the signs, the miraculous signs of Jesus? Like all signs, they are important. Don't miss them. God has written them down for us right here in His Word. This is an example of one of those miracles. But His miracles are all around us every day in our lives. They're signs that show us His glory as true God. They show us His generosity. They show us His compassion. And they strengthen our faith. And yet they are dwarfed by the most incredible miracle of all time. The miracle of His love. Unconditional, unlimited, and undeserved. Undeserved. A love that He gave us even though we did not deserve it. A love that He showed us when He took the punishment of our death, even hell itself, on the cross for us. His miraculous love did not end there. Thankfully, it did not end there on the cross. He miraculously and powerfully rose again on the third day to show us more miraculous signs of His love in His hands and His side. He says to each one of us in His Word, He shows each one of us these signs in His Word and says to us, reach your finger here and look at My hands. Reach your hand here and put it into My side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.